This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
It's true, so
you heard a conversation.
Thank you, council.
Kia ora, and welcome to Freedom Turn, a left-wing perspective. Well, there's a conversation going on in the background. Sorry. We were on Free FM 89.0, independent community media. To my right, Fred.
Good morning. Sorry, I didn't see the signal.
You missed the cue.
The on-air signal.
He missed the cue. Yes.
Mick and I were busy having a
good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Mick. Yeah, good morning. I don't know if I'm a gentleman.
And I used the term good figuratively. I'm looking out the window and it doesn't look particularly good out there now.
Well, it's like when you're in hospital or you're up at the doctor's surgery and you say hello to the person next door. I do anyway. And I say, how are you? Well, and they all go, fine. And well, what do? Wait and see the doctor.
Probably the last question you want to ask anybody.
The response is always the same.
Automatic.
Yeah. How's your hemorrhoids, Mr. Smith?
Anyway, that's
the conversation. Trying to find something positive? I think we should start with something positive.
Well, why don't we start off with the elections and then we'll go to a positive?
Because we're running out of time.
I know you've got an update, but as of Tuesday or Wednesday's paper, only 17.4% of voters.
We've improved now.
Yes, apparently there's 115,433 enrolled voters.
As of Tuesday or Wednesday, only 17.4.
Right, well, I'll give you the... Now you've got an update.
Yeah. 10th of October, 28,575 people have voted, which is 24.8% of the registered voters, remember that? And it's interesting, at the same time in the election process in 2022, 24.2% had voted, and they ended up with
29.4%. So
we might get a 5% today? Can I just do a little bit of ad for people to vote in? It's not too late. You can't go and put it in a post box. It's too late. But you can go, and I'll give you the addresses. If you haven't voted and you think I should, please consider it and please do. But you can either go to the museum in Victoria Street, you can go to Anglesey Pharmacy in Thackeray Street, Waterworld in Garnet Ave at Tarapa, Frankton Pharmacy in Commons Street, Fairfield Pharmacy in Heafy Terrace, Hamilton Gardens, Unichem Pharmacy in Grey Street, Hamilton East, Hillcrest Pharmacy, Cambridge Road, the Gallagher Aquatic Centre in Collins Road, Melville, Unichem Rototuna Pharmacy, which is in Horsham Downs, the Northcare Pharmacy in Pukete Road, plus the libraries, etc. And I suppose the main council building's open as well, is it?
Should be. Well, that's
a selection day.
I want to thank the council for providing the service. I discovered that there are individuals, I think it's four of them, go around to the nursing homes to ensure that the residents
get the opportunity to vote.
I spoke to the young chap and said, I thought he was a volunteer, but no, he's a member of council staff, one of four that go around ensuring people have the right.
That's great.
The council should be commended for providing that service.
That's a good one. Give us the bad one that you heard, Craig, without naming anyone.
this happened because Pukete Neighbourhood House had an event last Friday, not yesterday, but Friday, previous Friday, in which people were just dropped off their voting papers and then they were allowed to have a coffee and a muffin or whatever else that was there. But there was one person who was approached by one of my fellow staff members, and I said, "Have you voted?" And I just haven't got time.
And was that a rebuff, or was it not done politely, or was it
kind of almost like that? It almost sounded the way that the response was like that.
Don't bother me now.
Yeah, I'm too busy.
Dropping off a child at a government subsidised service, I suppose.
Yeah, you'd say it like that. Yeah, and just haven't got just saying that. So, and that would be reflective of a lot of people.
Sadly, that's right. And that's, let's face it, how to get people to vote. You've got to try and crack that
reaction is quite common, and it's being repeated every time there's a local election or national election
around the country. But can I I'd be interested in you guys' opinion on this, is I did notice in the article I read that in traditional community areas that are settled in the South Island, they're voting statistics still quite high compared to the rest.
Yeah, right.
And I'll give you examples. Buller, Mackenzie and Gore are all what you call established communities, and they're voting still not 90%.
Right.
But it's higher than...
But it's 50, nearly 50%.
Well, it's certainly an improvement what we've got around here.
So what can we learn from that? Those areas are probably quite stable.
Yeah.
They probably don't have high migrant rates. But they also, so the major thing is they have strong communities where the councillors may well be, and even the ones who are standing, be known in the community.
Yeah.
Look at Auckland's worse than us as for statistics in the big, big cities because people, you know, unless you're...
A lot of people are on the move because of rental.
So unless, and people work, you know, there's not the volunteering that goes on, etc. So unless you happen to know someone, like if you're in the club, you know, you might know a couple of the wannabe councillors from the country club or the beach house, but how else do you get to know them? I think that's the other thing. You know, people, why should I vote? I don't know any of them.
I'll tell you something else too. It's to do with one particular council. We're not here to promote anybody.
No, we're not allowed to today.
No.
However, we on a Tuesday morning, we have a craft group at the Pukeri Neighbourhood House, and lo and behold, on the last two Tuesdays, a sitting councillor at this time, was amongst the the ladies there.
Had participated. No, it was great.
Yeah.
That's great. You'd like to think that they don't just do it at election time.
I just think that they just came.
But making the effort to least. But on the other thing, just slightly on it, I see Hillcrest Library has got a temporary spot at the Hamilton Gardens.
Yeah.
And my disclaimer is, of course, I've got a vested interest because I've got a daughter that works for Hillcrest Library. So they're pleased to finally have a sort of a temporary location.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be able to be as big a library as the Hillcrest one.
No.
But it still gives people that, I suppose, to drop books off or whatever, if you've got a car or something. You can get a bus here, but Mick well knows it's a bit of a mission.
It is. But
so the old one, Hillcrest, is there any news on when they're going to start?
There's work on it. They've had to rip out all the lining and some of the steel beams because once you get under, even though they're steel in the roof,
twist.
And they just say that they've had too much temperature, so they often say nah.
So it's going to be a major undertaking.
Yeah, well, it's one, two. There's a block of four shops or whatever. So with the library, and it's my fish and chip shop. So I'm a bit sad about that.
Oh yeah, it's further afield, friend.
You know, Jing Wing. Well, I have to. I work closer in this case. I go down the local, but we used to go to Jing Wing for years. So hopefully they're doing all right. We'll have insurance or something. There's a barber in there, and a soupette. So certainly affects the community.
That sort of thing.
So that's what's happening. So that's good that it's been announced before the elections, etc.
And Fred, you got those figures from the website, the HCC's website. I went there and had a look.
Yep. They do a good job on those websites. You can find a lot of information.
The comparisons too. What I looked is how many people had actually voted on the Maori one.
And what's the turnout like on the Maori?
About 3,000 or 15,000 voters.
That's 20%. So they're not far. They're not far behind the so-called European roll or the non-Maori roll.
But what I had found also is that more people have voted in the east than the west.
Okay. Really?
Yeah. Okay. Despite what people have talked about all these voting papers all over the place because there's a lot of students and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Over in the east, but the percentage-wise is a bit higher over that side.
A bit higher, okay. Of demographics. Like, let's face it, Māori aren't... There's poor Māori and there's richer Māori and there's real rich Māori, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if that comes into it. Well, just like us in the European role.
But you mentioned Balapau. I have noticed a few places where outside properties where there's multiple flats and some of these ballot papers are just sitting out in the sun, in the rain,
just stuffed in the letterbox.
Yeah. Are those people actually there? Have they moved?
Well, who knows?
Who knows?
So obviously, a lot of ballot papers have been wasted.
I think differently, but I think they'll have to go to electronic voting at some stage. I just can't see an option.
Well, I just have some misgivings about the electronic thing. No, the propensity or the possibility of fraud.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But we do use it for.
We need to have damn secure sites.
To do that because we have.
Yeah, but if we get to a stage where there's only 20, you know, a quarter of the population is going to decide who runs our city.
And that
could even become in a lot like government, you know, general elections.
Well, in Switzerland, they used to have a problem. They used to have more referendums than any other country in Europe.
Yep.
And gradually the participation started to drop.
Yeah.
Because they're having referendums on each and every...
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Which is democracy in a sense.
Democracy. With voter fatigue because they just couldn't keep up with the demand for their participation.
But the people did vote for a pensioner increase, Max. I thought that's quite good. Have a referendum on a pay rise.
And
I think it was binding too. So,
But the problem is that you'll get people voted by the minority.
That's the danger. Or policies are pushed through by the minority.
And as we know, the minority tend to be, have wealth.
Yeah, and that's the problem.
Have ownership of things. So they have a bigger influence than their actually population, percentage of the population.
So you're getting this...
And of course, we've had some of these local elections. I'm sure there's people who voted in Auckland local elections and also voted in...
Oh, have you had property somewhere else? Yeah.
On, say, Whangamata or...
Yeah, all that. ACPAT has gone very quiet on all that. All these ones who say one person, one vote when it comes to Māori things.
But when it comes to property, you have many votes.
They have mentioned it, but it gets put under the mat pretty quick.
With the help of their mates in the media.
Yeah. Well, who often have
properties too.
They're all part of the same club.
But that brings out a wider question of the cynicism of the voting population.
Yeah, around, which I can understand.
And who does that help?
Unfortunately.
The same elite club that everyone seems to govern for. You know,
And you'll get a body. It could be a council, or a bit of government, or whatever, looking after a vested minority and bugger everybody else.
Well, and we see that around the world.
Exactly.
Governments are starting to just govern for the
elites,
for the 1 or 10% that own everything. You know, and bigger the rest. You know,
And that's not a democracy. That is a something else.
Mm.
What do you call that? What is it? What is it when you just govern on behalf...
Plutocracy,
isn't it? I think it's closest to it.
Yeah.
Where you just govern for the elite body of people, but like the Roman Senate in the old early
the Greeks,
times.
Yeah, that's where these terms come from.
Yeah.
You know, you just do it for the few, you know, not the many. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the fear.
Yeah.
And we may get a council that represents those vested interests, and that's what will... Yeah.
And so it just continues.
So bug everybody else. And if they've got an agenda,
watch out.
Well, I say I'm always nervous. I'm a real, as you know, I harp on about this, but anyone who says I'm going to do this, I just want to hear. I would like I should do this, or I propose that we should do that.
Not me, the individual. That's a David Seymour saying.
Yeah, I'm prepared to. I'll listen, and I'll do it by we'll do it by collaboration if we can.
Yeah.
You know,
consensus. Yeah,
yeah, consensus.
So we're on track not to break last time's record.
I think we will. We'll have a sweepstake now. We're allowed to do the sweepstakes.
You reckon we might beat 29.4?
Well, going on last time, they got 5% on the final day.
So going by that, you would say
we'll get to 25.3. That's my bet. Right, that's 25.3%.
Because last time it was 29.4, wasn't it?
30.3 I'll go for. Yeah.
That'll be, you reckon, right? You'll be optimistic.
I'll be, yeah, huge, huge thing. Of registered voters, so.
I'd say 29.9.
Okay.
I said 26.
Yeah, you're thinking more because of the low voter. Fair enough. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong.
So am I. I hope I'm wrong too.
Mm. Yeah. So get out there and vote, folks.
Yeah. do your civil duty.
It closes at 12 o'clock, isn't it? Is it 12?
Yeah. 12. Yeah. Yeah. Boxes.
And it's too late to register. I think now too.
Yeah.
It was done yesterday.
Yeah.
Or those people who couldn't be bothered.
Yeah. Well, sadly.
Didn't realise the importance or whatever. Or living under a rock, or forced to live under a rock under the circumstances.
Mm. Yeah, but having no time, how long have you had? About 5 weeks?
Something like that, yeah.
You could find an hour in that time.
But I suspect those same individuals will have the same attitude regardless. Because it's outside their busy lives.
Yeah. Talking to their rich friends on social media.
Driving on a subsidised council road or government road. But never mind. Yeah. Let's get over that.
Let's move on. Yeah. But I could find plenty of things to be negative about.
Oh, I got the positive.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Back up the bus.
Come on, you negative Nellies.
Back up the bus. Yes.
And it's... It looked like it was going to be 100% positive, but it's only probably an 80%. Mm-hmm. But the whole, in the Parliament, they've just moved forward a bill for the Hauraki Gulf Te Kapa Moana Marine Protection Bill.
Right.
And what that's going to do is extend some of the existing marine reserves that are already there. I know the one, there's that one up on Goat Island, up the north part of the Hauraki Gulf. And they're also creating 12 high protection areas.
So commercial fishing can't take place in this place?
I said it was an 80% victory.
It's a loophole, isn't it? It's a loophole.
And it was recommended that all the high protection areas would be no commercial fishing.
But pressure's obviously been brought to bear.
So they have allowed 3% of that will still be allowed for ring net fishing.
Mm.
Under the guise that the population still needs to be fed.
Right. Nothing to do about money.
The Greens weren't happy with it, and nor was Labour, but okay.
Labour make a comment. I haven't heard from Labour for ages.
But underlying that is it is still a move forward, because the Hauraki Gulf has been
anything's better than nothing.
Rangitia te horiko, as you would say. But and even a ring in that they can bring in fishing, that's going to be reviewed in 3 years.
Mm.
So maybe the beginning for the end for that commercial point.
It's big emphasis on maybe, isn't it?
Yeah, because let's face it, there's a huge population likes fishing in the Hauraki Gulf. It's a huge area, but there's also a huge population that take from it. So I thought that's good.
It's encouraging.
It is encouraging. Yeah. So that was my positive.
Mm-hmm. Well done.
Okay. Well done finding
that. Well, I'm off to the Hamilton City Council bridge now to jump off it, because there's not much other good news.
No.
Don't forget to send a text to the council saying thank you for providing the bridge.
But not the clean water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Plenty of negatives, though.
Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the big announcement?
Yeah, start with that.
Well, there's two big announcements. We'll talk about Gaza in a minute. But firstly, I want to talk about the Nobel Peace Prize.
Machado.
Yeah. In their wisdom, Donald Trump missed out. Also, some people, good job. But
he must be gutted.
Well, I don't know. Who knows with Trump? But they've actually awarded it to this woman called whose name is Maria Corina Machado. And she's the opposition leader in Venezuela. Surprise to surprise. And who is America having a go at present?
Well, let me guess. Venezuela?
And President Maduro. And this woman happens to be
in
opposition.
That's a coincidence, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's been offered a gong. She's been offered
this peace prize. Yeah. This lady who's a report. She's a coordinator with Code Pink, Michelle Elnor. And she's a Venezuelan America, and I just grabbed a quote out of her article about it. Machado Machado isn't a symbol of peace or progress. She is part of a global alliance between fascism, Zionism and neoliberalism, an axis that justifies domination in the language of democracy and peace. And that, she's got a record. She has what would you, I don't know what you call it. She goes back, reminds me of the old sort of right-wing dictatorships that Latin America has and still has in parts.
It must make you wonder about the thinking of the people on the Nobel Peace Board, you know, the directors who decide, make these decisions.
Well, she asked for Israel to intervene in trying to sort out Venezuela. So she's very close to Israel. You would have thought the Nobel Peace Board would have gone, well, no, Israel's not flavour of the month at present. Anyone who's got a connection, let's leave away. There's surely lots of other deserving participants, you know, who are trying to have peace.
Including that region of Gaza.
Lula would be a far better candidate, et cetera.
I would have thought so.
Yeah, you know.
But it makes you wonder just what goes on, eh?
Yeah.
And the cynic in me thinks,
And exchange of something?
Yeah, favours.
Well, Greg Granlund, who's a Yale University professor, but he was also a Pulitzer Prize awardee. He just said, shocking choice, and then went on.
Well, I think it just cheapens the whole purpose of these awards.
Exactly, and look at the history. It's not, you know, he was saying how divisive. She's divisive, not a bring it together. She's a divisive person. But they seem to have this. Let's face it, Venezuela's got all this oil. So America would love to pry a Venezuela from being independent to having a
vassal state of America.
Yeah, with some, what do you call the leaders that just basically...
Puppet
dictator. Yeah, leadership. And so that's what's obviously in line.
So you think oil might have been in their thinking?
Well, but you wouldn't think they'd get into the thinking of the group that decide...
No, I mean, America would be thinking...
Oh, they'd be quite happy about this. They'd be more than happy she's getting this.
Makes me suspicious, though. Very suspicious.
Well, I say, I think there'll be some more comments about her coming out, but because they'll grab back. Let's face it, especially in the last 20 years, everything's recorded. And I nearly got caught because there was a picture. It shows you how dangerous AI is. There was a picture of her leaning on Bibi's shoulder, just gently, at a conference. And I was about to say, oh, I'll quote that.
But it wasn't true.
But then I looked down, the photo had been AI...
Generated.
Yeah,
you'll be very careful.
I thought, oh, but she still was at the conference and it was still budding up.
You've got to be bloody careful. Yeah, you just by saying that global alliance of fascism, Zionism and neoliberalism. Yeah.
And that's enough. That's, you don't need to say any more.
It tells her a hell of a lot.
No.
Yeah.
And let's face it, they all go, oh, Venezuela, the people are starving and there's problems and all this. Why? Because
of sanctions.
Of sanction about what? Why is Cuba struggle? Because of sanctions.
Yeah, and this is what happened in Iraq. Iraq was the same thing.
You know, they go, oh, they're not coping. Look at that socialist system, or look at that.
It doesn't work because it's been undermined.
It hasn't even a chance to work because they sanction everything.
Yeah.
You know? And who drives most of these sanctions and embargoes?
Yeah.
The USA.
Well, and the capitalist system.
Yeah, but USA seems to be the main driver of those sorts of things.
So we'll see. So obviously Venezuela, and we know that from the Yanks have been killing a few people who purportedly...
Oh, you mean you've been murdering people?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So what's new?
Yeah. Without a trial or anything, just summary.
Just like the CIA.
But so-called drug running boats, and they may well be, but does that give you the right to kill people?
I think there was...
As a government, it doesn't, you know?
I think even I think a retired US military man was saying exactly that. These are not military targets.
It's a slippery slope when a government...
It's one thing to apprehend them and take the crew off and arrest them, but...
No, they'll just blast the boat in the water.
And
this is not self-defence.
No, this is attack. This is gunboat diplomacy, it's called killing.
It's a bit like, there's two Hamas members in that building there, but there's a lot of civilians there. Oh, we'll just take out the building.
Yeah, because they're all related.
They're all
human animals.
It's the same argument.
But it's fascism, you know, it's... awful, dangerous. It's so dangerous because that means, that, oh, don't like that person. They, you know, they're going off to a rally or something. We don't like what they say, you know. Take them out. Cool. How far away is that, you know?
Yeah, people peacefully protesting somewhere in the world and then...
Well, yeah.
You had that example. The best example of that was a peaceful protest in Myanmar in the 80s, I think it was.
And they got gunned down, didn't they?
Yeah, they got massacred.
Yeah.
By the military.
Yeah. So it can, you know, you think, oh, it won't happen, but...
It has happened.
It has happened.
Yeah.
And it'll happen again, sadly.
Beijing.
Yeah. Yeah. Same principle.
Yeah.
Even in America, you know, what the university, they took out some protesters
Kent University.
For the Vietnam War. So, you know, it's in our history.
Yeah. Peterloo Massacre in the UK.
Yeah.
Sharpsville, 1960, South Africa. Mm. Yeah.
It's been done before and it'll happen again.
Well, I imagine colonial troops, etc. Australia, maybe probably New Zealand as well. Done the odd massacre.
Intimidation
massacre.
Yeah.
Amritsar. 1920,
You can
just draw a list. I think it's best to draw this list.
Almost endless.
Yeah, draw this list of the last century and a bit.
So
that's where it's going to head.
So Trump didn't get his Nobel Peace Prize. In one way, I think I would have rather he got it because vain enough, he might have actually said, okay, well, while I'm the peace person, I will calm the farm a bit.
Blessed are the peacemakers.
Now they've got someone else he can, you know.
No. Yeah, the nominations were cut off in, what was it, they said January, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was two. He couldn't get in this time. He might well get in for next year if the so-called peace treaty between Israeli masters and the Palestinian.
I mean, I'm pleased for the Palestinians. They've got some sort of respite, but it hasn't lasted very long because the Israelis are still sending airstrikes and artillery bombarding.
Yeah.
Part of Gaza.
It
just doesn't make the headlines, does it? You know, as far as how many Palestinians get killed each day compared to...
It doesn't seem to matter to some people.
Whereas, like, Russia, you know, kills 3 or 13. They don't kill many civilians, because but they still do. But that makes huge headlines.
Mm. In comparison, Yeah, there was, I think there was Norman, what's his name? Norman Finkelstein.
Norman Finkelstein, I think he's an American Jew. Yeah.
He talked about how many IDF soldiers, IDF, what's the Zionist terrorist group, have been killed, disabled, da 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 da. There's a thing that he's put together, yeah.
Yeah, they've had casualties, but of course, the Palestinians haven't been able to get close to the IDF,
but
in many, you know, they just think, oh, there's a couple of baddies with families in there. They take the building out.
I would like to know amongst all those, you know, how they talked about war pigs being killed in the Ukraine.
Yeah,
and I want to know how many mercenaries, and that's a good word
that served for the IDF.
Have been killed.
Well, killed or serve. Mm. There'll be New Zealanders who serve in the IDF, I bet you.
But we don't know who they are and how many.
No. But we knew that from every now and then in the UK, they say, well, this person has been serving in the IDF. So it has happened. They obviously accept them in. They'll have dual citizenship.
Yeah.
Mm. Of course, how many Americans serve in the IDF as well? You know? Who's that American politician, congressman, who wears his IDF uniform into Congress? You know, it's just crazy.
Mental,
who runs America? And, you know, people, they say, you know, like it's the Israeli lobby, etc. Nah. And then you've got a congressman walking around in an IDF uniform. But I think America, the right wing in America, is having a bigger argument over it. They've really sort of clashed over since Charlie Kirk died, got murdered. Yeah. Then there's been a big debate about Israel's influence. So that's probably a good thing to have that debate.
Yeah, even Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of walked away from
Tucker Carlson's also. Mm. You know, there's been quite a few gone, whoa, these guys have just, it's meant to be America first.
Mm.
And
they're the same ones are saying we give too much money to these people.
Well,
so,
Israel brings on all these settlers and everything else, and it has healthcare and everything else. And how many Americans would get that? Only the ones with good jobs or the elite.
And I think some people can see through that veneer now, can they?
That's happening. I think that's rapidly happening. So Israel, okay, they've got a – whether they'll be able to recover from this PR disaster, I'm not sure. They won't be many Israeli tourists wandering around New Zealand walking into the pub down in Gore going, oh, shalom, yeah, I'm from Israel. You know, there'll be a lot of quietness around if you're an Israeli tourist.
There might be a few
and a few. Well, we've noticed that in our rallies on the weekends.
Yeah, yeah.
Not one Israeli flag has appeared.
Yeah, they haven't.
Supporters have
not yet.
We had some abuse, but they were very low profile then.
They've done the public relations. You know, they'll take a. I don't know if they'll recover from it personally.
That was the opinion of Steve. What's his name? Stephen Walt. Political analyst from the USA, I think Harvard,
okay,
making comments on Al Jazeera,
mm-hmm,
the bottom line program, and he felt that they'll be facing bad, dark times.
Which is what, and the tragedy of that is that all the awfulness of the Holocaust in the Second World, during the Second World War and before, is now being belittled, not by the world, but by the Israelis' actions themselves.
Yeah. You
know? Well, they've exploited.
So even people, and you see it, you know, people say, oh, I don't want to know about the Holocaust until this is sorted out. You know, so it's done, it's done a lot of harm to the Jewish people around the world, whether they support Israel or not.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain that Netanyahu will find some pretext because, well, while the war was going on, his court cases for corruption were suspended.
The chances of a false flag, as soon as they've got, Israel's got their hostages back.
They'll find some pretext.
Someone
shot at us, so it's off again. And we know from their right-wing ministers that they don't want this peace deal.
Oh, yeah, Kavir and Smotridge,
I imagine Netanyahu doesn't want it either, but he's a canny politician, awful as I find it, as actions, but, we'll see. But, I think most people are glad of the reprieve, hopefully, which hasn't happened yet for one side. Are very sceptical that Israel will stick to any sort of.
Well, I just hope that food supplies and medicine gets into Gaza and
some rebuilding
helps those people. But that's the thing about the rebuilding. I mean, the last intifada, the Israelis imposed blockades, and there was still material wasn't allowed in for reconstruction. Yeah. So I can't see them changing their spots over this side. So the Palestinians are now approaching winter, makeshift tents of plastic and blankets. Living amongst rubble.
And look at the birth rate would have plummeted
down here.
Disease rates would have gone up.
They worked out it was 20,000 kids have been maimed, not just killed, but these ones are maimed, lost lip, worked at one for every hour for the whole war.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Gaza's got the highest amputee rate of children in the world. It's awful.
Appalling. Yeah.
It's appalling.
And then the mental distress, mental.
Oh, imagine that's mental health issues.
I look at the proposed map where they were supposed to, the IDF was supposed to go behind. And to me, that's too close. And then there was another line.
It's about three lines altogether.
I said to somebody's posting, they should be going actually behind that dark brown line at least.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, a peace deal would require a total withdrawal from the area.
Yeah.
That would be the first step.
Yeah.
The implementation of an international force to keep the peace would come into play alongside humanitarian aid.
Yeah. Well, that's what it needs. They really need some international people in there.
Yeah,
that the Israelis. Yeah.
Interesting enough, they're having a conference in Paris about this. But guess who's not invited to the conference?
Palestinians. Yeah,
and there is a force of United States soldiers going in.
Yeah. Well, I heard they weren't going to go into Gaza; they're going to go to Israel. But one report said that there weren't any American troops in Gaza.
Except that might backfire on the Israelis if the Yanks go in there. they sure, there'll be some nut job yanks who are all out for killing Arabs, but there'll be others that go, oh my God, this is terrible. So
well, there have been. There have been American troops, individuals who've
signed up and then went,
realise what they're doing.
Like, you know.
Yeah, so those are the steps like that. Then the disarmament thing. Who's going to do the disarmament? That should really be a place of an international body.
Yeah, and if it means if the Hamas have to disarm, which okay, cool. Why does Israel should have to disarm inside Gaza as well?
Yeah, exactly.
It just seems, it just seems like a complete surrender is expected of the Hamas.
Give up the prisoners.
If you give up the hostages, we'll give you the prisoners. But yeah, right. Why would they trust the Israelis?
They don't. But don't forget that these
people
haven't
got much choice, though, have they?
They haven't got much choice. They've been, and you've got to hand it to their bravery. They've got to hand it with steadfastness. I don't know what you call it. Some people might call it stupidity, but they haven't surrendered.
No.
And the people haven't demanded them to surrender.
No.
Which is I'm really amazed at. Their people.
Because their land's worth more than their own life. Well, they give up on the land, that's it. They've got nothing.
And they know they've got, apart from a few elites who have managed to get out around the Western world,
including here.
It's not much fun living in a refugee camp in Jordan or Lebanon.
Well, especially with winter coming, it's going to be damn cold. Yeah.
Okay, it was the Palestinians' choice, and they've decided to give it a go. They've been told by America, and this is that's the end of the world, and America won't allow Israel to restart. Good luck.
What kind of pretext will that be?
But good luck, but that's what worries me. Yeah, can you trust America? America could have stopped this. This is the thing that people don't think. Yeah. America could have stopped this 2 months after October the 7th or whatever. They could have stepped in at any time and said, that's enough. You've killed 10,000. They only killed 1,000. You know, you've had your bloodletting or whatever. Let's calm down, calm the farm and go back. But they didn't.
That's it in a nutshell. And also, they armed.
And Biden didn't do it.
They didn't, and they armed the IDF.
Yeah, of course. Well,
that's the other one they could stop the bloody military.
But there's money in it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
every bomb that goes over to Israel or Ukraine, or to the West, tooling up for cases of war.
Yeah.
Rich families make money out of it, including wealthy families in New Zealand.
Yep.
Around the world, you know.
Yeah, they're talking about it here too.
So I've said this before, you sell a tank to the New Zealand Army and we drive it around Wauru and it might get the odd part in from America or whatever, but nothing happens to it. You sell you give a tank to the Ukrainians, it's probably, I think it's average life, it might be 6 months or 6 weeks or whatever. then you have to get another one. That's good money, isn't it, if you happen to be a shareholder in that company.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who's paying for it. And okay, the Americans are taxpayers.
It's the taxpayers who pay.
Yeah,
for
but
it.
They just seem to suck that up. You know?
They shouldn't though.
Although some people are just speaking out against it. There are individuals I've come across who say what's going on is terrible.
Yeah.
And that far too much money is spent on the military as opposed to putting money towards infrastructure.
But they've done that also. That's true. But if you look at America and you look at their states, just about every state has part of the military-industrial complex.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of people who feed off the tip.
But these are individuals, you see what's going on, saying this is wrong.
Yeah. But the positive is there are people in Israel. That's not all Israelis.
No, we're not tarring them with the same brush.
But it's still the majority. The bottom line is a very small minority. Yeah. And as I said before, the IDF haven't got Zionist badges on them. They've got the national flag of Israel on them.
Yeah.
They are doing it on behalf of Israel, you know?
Somebody, a work colleague shared, and I think you may have seen this, in the interview that John Campbell had with Luxon.
Okay.
Over the decision that was made at the UN by Peters.
That we wouldn't tell the people. We scuttled around and wouldn't tell anyone until we got there.
How he harps on about... and he did it a couple of times about Hamas and being a terrorist group and da-da-da-da-da, we won't recognise them and stuff like that. And it was our government that recognised them as a terrorist group and stuff, blah, blah. And went on like that. But I said back to my colleague, the Hamas may be a terrorist player there, but they're not the biggest.
No.
Let's face it, Hamas... you know, they, you get that, it was a Hamas is a terrorist, da-da-da. Hamas were locked up behind a fence.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
if you
yeah.
went within 300 metres, you would be shot at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They weren't just, oh, well, let's go, get my visa stamped and we'll go and kill people at a music concert.
Yeah.
They were coming out to try and get hostages to try and force a deal. Right? Yeah. Rightly or wrongly, that was the ideology, their thinking behind it.
Yeah. And I said back to my colleague, and this is via email, the IDF was the biggest terrorist player here, and it's made up of these particular organisations, which were terrorist groups.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Let's face it, Little Hind, Rejab, and lots of others, you imagine being stuck in a car with all your relations around you being dead and the mess they would have been asking for help. The Israeli flag would be just... Israeli soldiers, they would terrify you beyond words.
Mm.
Or the sound of a drone, helicopter, jet fighter... You know, terror is if you cause terror upon another person. You know,
well, that's exactly what the groups that now make up the IDF used to do.
Yeah,
they in the 40s they blew up the King David Hotel.
Well, it was to create terror, so people would leave.
They're terrorists. Yeah. So the Stern Gang, Haganah, Lehi, and Ergun, they're all terrorist groups.
Yeah.
They would kill British soldiers because it's during the mandate,
mm-hmm.
and they would booby trap the bodies. So,
and the
massacres that happened as part of the Nakba.
Yeah. Well, they did it if the idea of moving a population.
Yeah.
And how do you do that? You say, you kill a few, you intimidate a few, you do a bit of raping, pillaging probably as well, and then people go, oh, no, we're moving. We'll come back when it's done. And, of course, they didn't get a chance to come back. Gaza, someone pointed out to me yesterday, was that Gaza itself. Gaza was 2 million people. Most of the people there, the majority were refugees from... been pushed out of other parts of Israel.
Yeah.
So that not just, oh, that number 2 million Gaza have been there forever. Some have, sure.
Yeah.
But a lot of others were refugees that went into Gaza from other areas because it was still Palestinian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't know how true this is, but somebody had posted, and then it was shared by others, and they wrote that... they talked about the people who went to this concert that were killed and all that. And they said a lot of them were killed by
the Israeli response.
Response.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of them were killed.
Yeah.
And Hamas killed a few. That's how it went.
Yeah. But I say Hamas' main objective, as I said, was to get hostages, Israelis, to bring them back so they then could force the release of Gazans that are already in prison for an Iraq.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and an interesting thing I do watch. I got this sort of interest in history of war, and it talked about I think just before the Third Crusade, and it was because there was always an established Christian kingdom there. If you know the story of the king called Baldwin the Fourth, who was a leper, the leper king.
No, I don't.
Yeah. Don't you know the story? There's a movie as well, but talked about how they talked about where Saladin's army came through.
Yeah.
And they talked about Gaza.
Yeah. Gaza. The Romans were there.
Gaza.
I don't know if it's still there, but they've found mosaics and they've found Roman
it's ancient sculptures,
and everything. It's been there a long time.
Yeah, they talked about Gaza as a city. In those times, and occupied by, I think it was by Saladin's army, and then occupied by the Christians that were there.
Yeah.
So interesting history, but let's hope.
Blood's been spilled on that turf
over
centuries.
Yeah. But it's been a tragedy, and this we're hopeful that peace returns and a true peace.
You're going to get a true peace if your quality of life starts to improve.
Yeah, that would be true.
And they need to be free.
You only have true peace if you were free. And if you were free for a boat to come into Gaza and say, I'll get my boat and I'll have to go to the port authorities of Gaza to get permission to park up at the wharf, that's free. When you're not allowed within, you're picked up in international waters, you're not free. You're not free to leave and you're not free to come in.
Yeah, you know? Interesting you say that, because you talk about the Sumad flotilla and how it was stopped. While the Israelis were focusing, or the Zionists were focusing on that, it enabled people to fish, which they weren't allowed to do before.
Right.
Okay, yeah. Well, they control everything.
Yeah, that's the problem.
And so people say, well, why did the October the 7th happen? You've got a people that are trapped inside a... Mm. Not just the boundary fence, and this is what people need to remember, the boundary fence between Gaza and the rest of Israel, they weren't even allowed to touch the fence. They had to be 300 metres from the boundary fence, or they'd risk a bullet in the knee. You know?
Yeah.
That's hard to believe. That means, like, my section, I can't go within, you know, I've got a little strip in the middle that I can go to, and I can't go
any further
towards my neighbours on either side.
Yeah,
well, they could go to the ocean, but even then, the ocean, they could swim in the ocean. The fishermen were allowed certain limits to go out,
but
still not. Oh, I want to fish 100 miles offshore. No, that doesn't happen.
That story came through and said that because they were focusing on the flotilla, in which I think they intercepted outside
Gazan waters.
Let's just hope.
I hope Israelis wake up and realize that the way forward is actually to either become a secular state where everyone one vote, one person, or if they don't want that, they can't get over themselves, then they've got to give the Palestinians enough linked up territory to have their own country.
Two state solution.
But I can't see that happening. Not with these
idiots.
You've got established settlements. They're not going to give those up.
Well, even some of the Israelis say the real problem is I saw some retire, and he wasn't military, so he's not clean, of course. But he lost a daughter to a bombing from a Palestinian action. People would call it terrorism. But he said Israelis have to get over their supremacy, their thinking of supremacy, and that's the only way it's going to happen. But he says they're nowhere near that yet.
No.
Okay.
Right. So anyway, but on another term, there was a rally in Hamilton today at between 1 and 2. Bit of flag waving. We just do a bit of a vigil, remind people. We'll probably wait and see what the ceasefire does and make a call about but it's definitely on today. Even if it's raining.
Which is not yet.
Not yet, but maybe.
Okay. What have you got, Mick? Changing tact.
Yeah, need to change tact. Yeah.
Well, this is in Herald on Monday. Apparently, tensions explode as US agents open fire in Chicago. Tensions over the Trump administration's immigration crackdown in Chicago significantly escalated yesterday as angry residents faced off against heavily armed federal agents, resulting in the shooting of one woman and warnings from Democrat Governor J.B. Pritzker, 300 National Guard troops are being activated against his wishes. This echoes what's going on in Portland as well. Trump's got his idea that these states are going up in flames and there's war and...
I think the play is that is to get into these states before the midterms.
Yeah.
And so, you know, influence the ballot box.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the fear.
But
they claim that agents were fired after officers were rammed by vehicles and boxed in by 10 cars. Now, whether that's true, I don't know. But
they present themselves in an intimidating fashion, where they're masked up and all this sort of stuff, and they're armed. What do they expect back?
Yeah.
We the people think. Yeah. Why are they here? They come to our city. Why are they coming here to threaten us?
Likes of Trump create the problem, and then blame the people for reacting, and then they make it even worse by sending troops in.
Yeah, and I think that's...
But what are the troops thinking? You know, like...
Wow.
That's what I... You know, it's like, say, what are the... Are they indoctrinated like the IDF, or they, you know...
No, we're talking about USA.
No, that's what I mean, but what's their thinking?
ICE.
They've got to follow orders, but are they behind it, or they're just doing it because that's their job and they happen to be caught up?
Well, it's going to be that line that's going to be crossed about... firing on your own citizens.
Mm.
Once you cross that line, what happens then?
Mm.
You descend into civil war.
Mm. Yeah, well, Trump's always banging on about the Insurrection Act. That's what he's doing in Portland, Oregon. That's what he's doing in Chicago.
And see, that's what I can't understand. They have, you know, the midterms, and Trump could well get you know, they could get a hiding, the Republicans, and deservedly so. Not that the Democrats are just as bad, as, in my view.
Oh, yeah, they're each the same.
But then, as the president, he seems to be able to do just about anything he wants.
Yeah.
So,
why
is there a government? You know, like, it's just straight, he's a straight dictator, almost, it seems to be.
But what usually can happen to dictators is, in that sort of military scenario, is that you have a coup d'etat.
Yeah.
And so what's stopping the generals who that Hexeth has been demeaning?
And so was Trump demeaning to them.
From forming a bloc similar to, say, like the July plot in Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
And overthrow...
Having a military junta.
Junta. A coup d'etat. Yeah. And throw him throw him out of power instead of a military government.
But just every day during the week, you just see the news coming out of America and you're thinking, this is a cop case. This is just, mentally, it just seems bizarre. It just seems to be deteriorating into...
But how did they get to a cop case?
Yeah, because they allowed a cop case person to get into charge.
And are we going to allow that American exceptionalism, I call it narcissism, we've opened our doors to wealthy Americans. It's like, oh, my goodness.
Well, we boot them out of the country.
Yeah.
Well, you're welcome, but don't bring that...
Unfortunately, the two go together.
They seem to. They don't seem to understand.
This country doesn't seem to be interested in policing those individuals and saying, or vetting those individuals. Well, you would come in, but your political ideology means no.
Yeah,
but we won't do that because we're worried about money.
Well, Peter Thiel bought himself a citizenship, didn't he? Bought himself a big farm and.
So did old. Shania Twain.
Oh, there's lots.
Yeah, those two come to mind.
Yeah.
The other thing that caught my eyes is a bit sobering. This was Monday's Herald as well. Human trafficking is worse than you might think. Report estimates there are thousands of modern slavery victims in New Zealand. Anti-trafficking experts says the idea that only 31 people are trafficked each year in New Zealand is very unlikely to be accurate, given that an estimate puts modern slavery here at 8,000. The Minister in charge of the fight against organised crime says strong action is needed to bolster the country's response to trafficking. Police said they had 19 ongoing investigations last year, comprising three dealing slaves, three, sexual forced labour children, three, people trafficking, eight, assisting the child in prostitution, two, and employer exploiting worker, three. Walk Free's Global Slavery Index estimated 8,000 people in New Zealand are living in modern slavery comparatively low compared with other countries and placing the nation, i.e. NZ, 148th out of 160 states for slavery prevalence. We've talked about this before, that world slavery is going up. I know there's lots of definitions. Is either just outright exploited people or people completely vulnerable and... They're just treated as a commodity and they...
Particularly the sex trafficking stuff,
Plus migrant workers. Get different definitions. But generally the people have been exploited totally or partially or...
Mm. And sadly, often they're exploited by their own.
We have the case where there's been out of various off licences up in Auckland, where the employer had held on to the people's passports. Didn't pay them their right amount of pay, holiday pay, all sorts of things going on.
They're from a particular country, weren't they?
On that particular occasion.
Mick and I were talking on the way here. There's been a bit of that, and it's quite to me. It's sad, but it's also worrying. There's been a I think at VTNZ, a car, people giving licences to people, and they were accepting bribes or asking for cash as well.
I've heard of cases where people have sat the exam for someone else.
Yeah, but they've been sacked, these people, and 300 or 400 have got to resit their licences. But that's direct corruption.
I heard about that,
And if that's happening there, what else is happening?
Other aspects of life, cut corners. You want to get a building somewhere where
that's the danger.
And then you pass money. You can get building consent here, or blah blah blah.
Yeah, we'll give you a food license here. It can happen in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, it kind of makes almost a mockery. How we're rated as one of those countries with a low rate of corruption.
Well, that's the fallacy,
I think. Yeah, but I think by what you're saying, I heard about the licensing one, yeah, and those other things. So you just...
Yeah, the corruption is a lot more than we...
Corruption can creep in, and I'm not having a direct go at it.
And it's at a higher level than most people would think.
And I think that's, you know, and I'm not having a direct go at migrants, but often people come from another country and the way things are done is different
to here.
To here or to wherever they go to. And if you take those habits with you and it's like, oh, that's what we do back home, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, and we don't stomp that out or just at the start go, look, welcome to New Zealand, but you've got to pay your tax and you can't do this and you can't do that. Otherwise, it's sort of becomes a creeping corruption.
Yeah.
You know? Which weakens the whole state, of course.
And then, of course, certain individuals who shall remain nameless, who are part of the elite, do very nicely out of this.
Oh, well, yeah, and I say, there's always been what you call wink, wink, nudge, nudge to where you should buy a farm or a piece of land.
We've come to an understanding.
Yeah.
Nothing's written down, no details, but...
Yeah, but I say, I feel a bit sorry for the people who've set their licences, because a lot of them will be migrants, etc. And so they probably don't know how it goes. So when the guy said, oh, you give me $100 or whatever it is, off you go, sort of thing. And they've accepted that. So
yeah, well, I've seen some of the drivers on the road and, you know, some of these people shouldn't be driving.
Well, we wonder how they got their licence. Yeah.
The old weeklings payout you're talking about.
And not naming any particular group of people, but and it's right across the board.
It's not
just a particular group. It's open right across.
And so
the potential anyway.
But that's, you've always got to be careful when, and we would have done, going back, I'm not trying to pick on that, my English ancestors, when they came here, Māori would have been horrified at some of the tricks they got up to. Because it was just, you don't do that, that's tougher, you can't walk across that path, or you can't do that, not sharing, you know, they would have been horrified with it. So, yeah, it's sort of an ongoing thing of what people can bring in with them.
And it starts off very slow and just eats away underneath, and the whole structure just suddenly collapses.
That becomes the norm. How to get somewhere is you've got to slip someone's
and even because JPs have got to be wary of it too, that people having a document certified or a statutory declaration.
People don't know that they're not from here and they go, that's $20 or that's $100, please. Are they to know?
Mm. No, it's where they offer you a gift for a service provider.
That's what I mean.
But I said, no. I said, no, JPs are not paid. This is a community service. Otherwise, it brings the whole...
And
that's how I usually say that.
Mm. Yeah.
If a JP, if I'm seen as a JP at work, and they say, but I'd still like to make a donation, make it to the community house.
That's the way to do it.
And that's what I do.
Hands off.
I don't accept those sorts of things. No. But I've heard stories where people have been left gifts and the person shoots away before he says, no, they've gone. Mm. No, you can't do that. People have been caught out like that, but that's, yeah.
Yeah, it's something we have to watch, because what you guys said before about our rating for honesty and all that.
We could go down the gurgler.
And that'll go into the next time they do one. They'll go, oh, there's been trouble in New Zealand.
We're running neck and neck with the United States.
We're just about out of here.
But we'll just say in the last minute, people, if you've got an hour to cast your vote. Otherwise, don't complain.
And careful. It'll be interesting what happens. We've got the sweepstake here, so...
Fred will tell us.
We'll find out.
Tell us next week. Tell us
if I've won.
We're out of here. Free Left Turns on www.freefm.org.nz, or you can follow us on the podcast, Free Left Turn and Podcast.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.